Southern California, a popular and sunny home to some surprising adventures. That's me, Elizabeth, and today my friend, Jesse LeBeau, and I are exploring some places in Southern California that we've never seen before. We'll visit the Wolf Connection just north of Los Angeles.
So right now we are in the Turnout, which is basically like a big playground for the wolves.
Meet some awesome animals.
Good.
And make some amazing connections of our own.
Want to see a redwood?
Yes.
More than anything in this world.
Then we'll head south to the port of Los Angeles to tour a real battleship.
These are knee knockers. They keep the water out in case the ship floods.
From the captain's private galley.
What you cooking over there, Jeff?
Steak and eggs. Captain loves his steak and eggs.
To the safest place on the ship.
Hey, what do we got here?
Hey, let me see.
It's a brand new adventure in the Golden State that you don't want to miss. So let's do it.
Breaker Breaker 1-9, this is Captain Lizzie here reporting for duty.
Welcome to Elizabeth Stanton's Great Big World from Southern California. Hey guys, today we're exploring our Great Big World close to home and making some really cool discoveries right here in Southern California. You probably know Los Angeles for its famous television studios, theme parks, boulevards, and beaches. But today I've got a couple surprises for you. So let's go. California is a beautiful place to be. It's truly a land of adventure, where you can be in the snowy mountains one minute and the desert the next. And with miles of beautiful coastline stretching along the Pacific Ocean, California has lots of awesome beaches too. I've traveled all over the world, and I have to say, it's always nice to come home to California. Around 1849, a massive rush of gold miners and
lifestyle we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte in Tamuning or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355.
Yes, I've been eating him for 6 or 7 weeks now. I haven't got sick once. I'll break you off for
school has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmujao offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osmujao to gain those credits from a 6-year WASC accredited school. They can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osmujao to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osmujao is located in Agaña next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a 3-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276.
Yourself. You're wonderful, flawless, who you
most unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirate's Cove, located in Ipan Talafoco on Route 4, right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Dawn, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirate's Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Start out with that breakfast. Get that unbelievable Jose's Mexican omelet. Unbelievable. Then jump over to Jose's Taco Tuesdays. And don't forget Friday, folks. That whole parrotfish is sitting there waiting for you. And don't forget about Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirate's Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Sandy beach. The sand still warm under your feet from the sun's rays of the day. A gentle breeze is blowing through the palm trees and it softly caresses your face and body. The moon is full and the shimmering pale white moonlight showers you with its powerful moon energy as moonbeams dance upon the ebony waters surrounding you. As you walk along the beach with the waves gently kissing your feet and the ocean singing to you, you look to the heavens and you see the most wondrous brilliant star. As you gaze upon this twinkling star, you see it fall suddenly into the water, and in a flash of light, a beautiful, perfect dolphin emerges from that very spot. And in an instant, your heart and mind know that this magical being came to you from the heavens above. The dolphin calls to a language not of words, but of the heart. It is an easy, joyous communication, welcoming you to approach and enter the water. Excitingly you do so, finding the water warm and soothing. As you greet one another and you look into the dolphin's eyes, you see the universe itself reflected there. You feel at peace and loved. It is a union and a reunion. You remember, and you're connected. Such joy and love you have for your new friend and guide. You take hold of the dolphin's fin, and she gently swims with you. You feel totally safe and protected as you both now go beneath the surface of the water, deeper and deeper and deeper. How beautiful this underwater world is. You could stay here forever, surrounded by colored fish, coral, sea, and plant life of every description. And in the distance, you see a crystal cave, just for you. You and your guide effortlessly glide toward this cave, so inviting. And as you enter the cave, you find it has many, many rooms of many colors. Red, orange, purple, green, blue, yellow. Each is healing, and you choose the color you need. Or you may choose to visit each room. You're like a sponge, absorbing the vibration, the energy of all the beautiful colors. You may stay here as long as you wish. And when you're ready to leave, you see that your dolphin friend has been patiently waiting for you, and she now accompanies you to the surface. You float suddenly upward and upward and upward and emerge from the water healed and whole. You bid farewell to each other, thanking this magnificent celestial being for her love and energy and for this healing journey. And in your heart, you know that she will always, always be with you. Welcome. Metaphysics in the name of the game. Edge of Heaven, here we are. We've got some action-packed co-hosts in the studio. Yeah, I think we're okay. We got to find our comfort zone, I think is the name of the thing, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to ever trick yourself and not be in a comfort zone. Absolutely. So the big news, I think, is we've been able to flip some skin little basal activity, you know, like you know, one of the things I know we bring in the SDA every now and then brings in some from the States, a dermatologist, you know, so of course all the Hollies line up, you know, and go in and you know, he's funny, you know, he just kind of circles the place and then somebody else does the slicing, right, to take him out. But the thing here, we don't have a lab, so you don't know if you get it all. That's the thing, you know, in Hawaii you have a lab. And you can take it right away, and you can see whether or not, I guess, that you got the... Yeah, but, you know, not so much. I think, I don't know where you're on, right? You got your... Yes. Okay. And so this is something, I guess, the miracle noni seems to...
Well, that's one of the factors.
Go ahead.
One of the factors is the noni. But, you know, I talked about noni...
Yeah,
talked about noni
being a powerful antifungal. One of the strange aspects of cancer is a very big business, and oncologists, don't get me wrong, it's a very difficult occupation for two reasons. One, the work of the oncologist is very regulated.
Okay, that's the individual who does...
Cancer doctor. Yeah, so in California, there's only three acceptable strategies, and that's radiation, surgery, and chemo. And chemo, essentially, it's extremely toxic. And it works. Chemo works on the theory that cancer cells grow faster and need more food than other cells, you know, like sometimes 20, 30 times more. So if I give you a dose of chemo and I put it in a form that the cancer will absorb, well, the cancer is going to absorb a lot more and maybe it'll kill it. The unfortunate thing is there's lots of cells in our body that also absorb lots of stuff, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Your eyebrows will fall out and then you'll have trouble with your teeth and certain other parts of your body will begin having problems. And the radiation poisoning, the radiation is another problem, and it's a whole unique set of problems. So, because, you know, you're literally you're putting enough radiation into a body to kill cells inside the body.
Right.
Well, how does the radiation know the difference between a good cell and a bad cell? No, it just, it's an area effect. So you're kind of like, just kill, we're going to try to shrink the mass. I mean, that's the best you can get with radiation. So now in Florida, they have one extra treatment, which is immunity boosting, your immune system.
Oh, to fight it through it. Yeah, wow.
But that, but that's after you have the other things first.
Okay, just to keep it at bay.
Right, so it's to, and as my brother's an oncologist, and I said, I joked with him, I said, well, I hope you start with that one first. And he said, yeah. No, that's last.
Oh, no, so. Yeah. And then the one I for the basal cancer, of course, is the liquid nitrogen. You know,
right.
But that's something that they just burn it, right? You know, and that's and then it kind of you know, heals up, you know, in time. And but that's also one of the techniques at low liquid nitrogen.
That the cream I made up for you is basically it works on the it works that antifungals work the kind that is in the cream. Because they have vitamin B17 in it.
Okay.
Okay. So, and basically,
what's the food source of B17?
Well, now that you know, you heard of Laetril, right? That was the big in the 70s and 80s, and you know, everyone pulling their hair out, and they extracted it from apricot.
Okay.
And the pits of apricot or the seeds, they would. Extract it. Now we have at Island Strong, we have apricot. I literally bought hundreds of different apricots from around the world.
Wow.
And the one I found, the one that's the most concentrated, the effect. And basically you can tell by, you just chew on these apricot seeds, and after about 15-20 seconds of chewing, your tongue will feel like it's gone numb, like you took cocaine, really, and put it on
like
your tongue.
Like a Novocaine kind of thing.
Right. And that is the active ingredient working. And that's when I tell people, that's when you swallow. So, but what it does is it goes into your system. It releases B17. Now, B17 has a benzene, kind of like a benzene ring, and a cyanide, in very loose way of thinking of it, attached to the B17. Now, if either one of those got loose, it would be damaging in the body, but you need an enzyme to break them up.
Okay.
And the beauty is only fungus has the ability to break it, has the enzyme.
Okay.
So it literally, the B17 literally floats around your body till it, like a heat seeking missile, until it finally finds some fungus, and then it says, I'm home, honey.
and the fungus is the cancer.
Well, the fungus sees it because B17 is two glucoses plus this benzene ring plus a cyanide all together. So the cancer cell sees glucose, which it likes.
Yeah, that's
And
that,
so it says, come on in, baby.
Yeah.
And then it puts an enzyme to break the glucose free. And then the cyanide or the benzene ring or both of them kill the cancer cell.
Okay.
So it's like a heat-seeking missile for cancer.
Okay, and that's apricots.
That's apricots.
Apricot nuts.
Or the seed inside.
The seed inside, yeah. Okay.
Now, the strange thing
is...
How
do you prepare that?
Well,
I mean, they're pretty big.
No, they're really small. They're like an almond.
Oh, okay.
They're like a bitter almond.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, honestly, bitter almonds sort of... they're not as effective as apricots, but they work the same way. Once the almond becomes a sweet almond, it loses that B17. B15 and B17 aren't in it anymore. Now, of course, what I'm telling you is complete heresy.
Absolutely.
And if I was calling in the States, there would already be 100 lines lit calling in to call me some kind of a, you know,
right.
Troglodyte.
Now, in this aspect of working, because you know, cancer, like you say, is a killer. I mean, it's within our society, and for all the different reasons, whether or not it's lung cancer or the whole list of oftentimes from us abusing ourselves, you know, that can be a source of smoking or liver cancer. I don't know.
Well, the better way to think about cancer. Cancer is a combination of two bad things happening in your body. One bad thing is acidity. The more acidic your body is, the more your cells are going to have to basically use fermentation for energy. The more so, at a certain point, the cell becomes embryonic. It's these embryonic cells, like an embryo, like a baby. The reason they grow, all that thing wants to do is grow. It doesn't care about anything except growing. Grow, make me grow.
So
Grand, I want to grow.
So give it food.
Right, I grow glucose. They don't even give me food, just give me glucose. I want to grow.
That's their food.
Right, it's lactose
and
too. You know?
Glucose comes from any sugars.
Right, but lactose too. You know, just give me your sugar. You know,
milk.
Just give me something I can grow, and then give me the minerals I need. But the whole point of it is, even when you're born, your body is still, think about how a baby keeps growing rapidly, 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 but then the curve starts bending. At 6 months, you notice it's kind of slowing down, and by a year, everything takes longer, and then by the time the kid's 3, you'd wish he was 10, right? So we could just get through this being a kid phase.
Is that your story, Joseph?
Danny, what happens if I poke you in the eye? Well, like this. Ow! Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, don't do that. But of course, kids are fun, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But the point of it is you don't want that behavior in cells. You know,
right.
that and the problem, what's worse with cancer is it doesn't communicate properly. So it's like the embryo is not a big problem because they're all communicating and working with each other and they're growing, right?
Make the growth, yeah.
But when it's a cancer, it's like you have a bunch of mercenaries in your body.
Okay.
And they're just growing, and they're not listening and taking orders, and they're just hanging around, right?
Right. Well, they're looking for glucose.
Right. Now, the second problem, so we have, the first problem is the acidity.
Okay.
The second problem...
Would that be like from a lot of citrus?
Well...
I always think, you know, I used to drink those oranges.
Yeah, like a person, if you want to get on the Cancer Express, then drinking like a colas... fruity drinks, highly acidic
drinks.
You know, those kind of things. So those kind of things. But just thinking, let's just go in a simpler way. The second fact that drives cancer is the what they call hypoxia or low oxygen state. The lower
so
the
oxygen, so less activity.
No, it's just that your body's ability to absorb oxygen, get it into your cells, and then get it into the cancer. That's why cancer treatment, a lot of them, they put you in an oxygen room and pressurize it.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're pushing up the partial pressure of oxygen, so by osmosis they're forcing oxygen into the cancer cells, which are going to either force it to convert into a normal cell or kill it. So both of them sound good to me.
Yeah.
Convert to normal or kill.
Sure.
No.
Well, exercise. They're always saying like exercise. In exercise, you get more oxygen by deep breathing and the blood's flowing.
It tend to work toward that, which brings us to the third problem, which is sugars and starches, because they generate glucose.
Because starches turn to sugar and then
right, exactly. And those feed cancer. So in the cancer carousel, we have three parts: acidity, low oxygen, high sugar.
Right.
And so if you can break all three of them and then add some heat-seeking missiles, like you talked about,
then
cancer's is child's play.
Right.
But if you want to keep, you know, acidic body, keep eating sugars and not understanding about hypoxia, well, it's, you know, I can be killing the cancer for you, but it's going to keep coming back all over your body.
Because
your
lifestyle.
Because of the environment. And I try to tell people, let's say that you got this dog that won't stop barking, but you love that dog, Ruffy. You overlook its crimes of constant barking. But your neighbor is not as loving as you. He doesn't love Ruffy the way you do. And so he starts feeding some rat poison, mixing it into your dog's food. Well, then you start noticing that your dog's losing hair and that it doesn't have very much energy, just wants to lay around. So
you know what the kids do, Joseph, on the street? You know how they do it with the dogs that come chasing them all the time? They feed them octopus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know what happens when the dog eats octopus?
No.
All their hair falls out.
Oh, really?
And they look so nasty, the owner gets rid of them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. No, that's the street. That's the street.
Well, let me tell you, let me just tell you the rest of my rat poison story.
Okay.
Because what happens is, because you love Rufy, you take Rufy to the veterinarian, and the veterinarian says, "Ran, this dog's being poisoned. Someone's feeding rat poison to your dog." So now you bring your dog in the house or the food bowl and feed it in the house, and your dog recovers. Now, is your dog in remission from rat poisoning?
It's absence of stimulus.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we have diseases that are dietary, we're not really in remission from cancer. There is no such thing.
You just got to change what it is you're doing.
Yes.
So you go into the room and get fed in the room and not, yeah. No, absolutely.
You got to change.
Yeah, you got to change. If in fact, but Joseph, the interesting thing it is, the only way I can, get, it's the ego of the person is so strong that they refuse to change their lifestyle and they rather just die with the consequences of what they eat and what they do, which if that's your purpose, go ahead. I mean, what can you say? Nobody's going to stop you from doing that. But the aspect is are you being selfish to your children? Or are you being selfish to your wife or your husband? Are you being selfish, to your grandchildren that you're not there for them to do these life things? But that's not a value to the individuals who have that. Don't smoke. And you still smoke. I mean, that's.
But it's a quantity game. If a person smokes,
moderation.
Well, if a person smokes a half a cigarette a day,
right? Yeah,
it's probably not going to be a problem.
No, that's.
But if they smoke a pack and a half a day,
right?
That's going to be a problem.
Well,
probably.
That's what I'm saying. And they rather smoke a pack and a half because that's something that they just feel strong for. And this is something that, we all accept because you can have these balances. Again, this polarity thing where you have extreme vegan aspect and then you have people who, every three times a day they have meat, right? And they have, like you say, the starches and you have all these things. And then the only thing I can see, the interesting thing is this thing with chili peppers,
right?
And eating chili peppers and how that no doubt attacks something.
Well, it definitely works on parasites like roundworms, hookworms.
Okay, there you go.
All the parasites really hate the hot peppers.
So, yeah, I can't blame them.
No, they don't like it at all. Right? You might say it chaps them. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, sends them running, right?
Well, most of those are bloodsuckers, so they attach to your. The lining of your small intestine usually and suck blood.
Okay.
So the by sending the hot peppers,
it drops off the.
Well, it chafes them. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
It really hurts.
That's a good because that a lot of individuals no doubt know that, right? And that's
Well, the thing of it is it's kind of interesting like the way nonis work. Nonis are antifungal, antibacterial. But they're also anti-parasite.
So fungi is cancer.
Yes. Fungus, now doctors will scream again. So any doctors out there, it's a good time to reach and press, especially if you're a cancer doctor. But for a simple way of thinking about it is fungus has a certain way of growing.
Quickness.
Right.
So it's like
when a doctor tells you you have cancer, you may not have cancer. And I'll give you an example of it. If you have an extreme case of roundworms and they're attacking your lungs, your intestine is infested with them, and they're dying inside your pancreas, inside your liver, inside your bile duct, they're dying and giving off their enzymes, and your body is responding by fighting these. It's necrosis, cell necrosis that's in your body. Well, your body really can't tell, like when a roundworm is dying in your body and when one of your cells is dying.
You don't get an email?
No, it doesn't. It just shows as certain markers, which are cancer markers. Now, some years back,
about a minute before the news.
Oh, there was a fellow who figured out that if he tried everything, they told him, go home, you're going to die in 3 months. So someone told him, he was at a bar or something, I don't know, having his last round, and a guy told him that he heard that you could take dog dewormer and it'll cure cancer.
Oh, interesting.
And so this guy goes and does it, right? And sure enough, over a 2 month period, his cancer goes away.
So it was worms.
It was worms. Now he thinks he got over cancer and he does online stuff and he's helped 40 other people.
Okay.
But the truth is he never had cancer.
He's just getting rid of the worms.
He's just getting rid of the worms.
Good idea.
Right.
So folks, we're going to be jumping into the CBS News here. And, I'll tell you, Island Strong, right next to Megabyte. Go and see Mr. Joseph in the afternoon and be a big help. All right, we'll be right back with a whole bunch more of The Edge of Heaven.
Your favorite team is in the mix. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules.
Okay, Ken.
The food we eat, the lifestyle we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions, aren't wrong. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte Intimune or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355. Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmuja offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program for students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early. May attend Osmuja to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school. They can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to a Osmuja to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with a class or graduate early. Osmuja is located in Agana, next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West of Bryan Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirate's Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4 right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Folks, get ready for this Father's Day. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirate's Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Start out with Jose's Mexican Omelet. Unbelievable, folks. Jump over to Jose's Taco Tuesdays. You can't go wrong. And then jump into Fridays. Shrimp scampi, deep-fried calamari rings, fish and shrimp combos, and then that whole parrotfish. And don't forget about Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will, of course, only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirate's Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646.
pretty excited about the aspect of what, you know, people are finding out. I think in this ascension process, more and more people are finding that there's an actual lifestyle, you know, that you know, we talk about, you know, in the aspect of how to live. I mean, they had a thing, I think, in the living till 150, that, you know, we have this ability to find ways to, whether or not, I don't know, AI, I hope not, you know, but it's something, you know, within ourselves, with the mechanisms that we have to live, you know, in these extravagant years. You know, it's a fascinating thing, because the quality is something that you have to ensure. I mean, you can, you know, maybe have a life, but what's the quality? You know, where are you finding your happiness?
Well, actually, Rand, it's interesting, because
right now we're actually living on borrowed time. That's the truth of it. What I mean by that is, if they hadn't figured out how to make fertilizers from petroleum, from oil, because we were quickly running out of phosphorus. It we were just consuming it, and then basically we were destroying the system.
And that was our fertilizers.
For fertilizers,
for
right.
Food. Okay.
It was dropping very rapidly. And that's why from 1900 to 1930, by the time World War II broke out, I think roughly the average 40% of males were considered to be defective and unable to be put into the military. 40%.
Wow.
Defective.
You mean like when they go to get their physical?
They would deem defective either because of bone issues or IQ or you name it. They, you know,
this
psychological problems.
This is World War II you're talking about.
This is World War II. And the outcome of it, there was such technical advances during World War II in a way, and the antibiotics and plastics and different advances. But one of the big advances was the advances in fertilizers. And we started using these fertilizers, and it bought us extra time, because we would be in a real hurt right now if we had run out of phosphorus. Okay, but we didn't, because they figured out how to make petroleum into these fertilizers.
They found a route.
Well, what's happened now, though, is we're rapidly depleting the other minerals that aren't as sensitive as phosphorus is. So now, and it also has to do with glyphosate.
So what's
and
this
farming.
Why you talk about petroleum?
Well, they figured out how to make fertilizers out of petroleum.
And
by
that's
breaking
not good.
It. Well, what
or is it good? I don't know.
What the problem with it is, it puts fertilizer into a soil in a way that the soil isn't really designed or built to take fertilizer. And the whole idea, like the way they used to farm before, see, we farm mono crops
right,
now.
Right.
And then we break the land up by turning it over with, you know, going down 7 inches and turning the land over, and we expose all, instead of it being held by a root system where the minerals and water and everything's being held. The way they used to farm before is they would make like these circles or in the forest, really, and they would burn the trees down, but they would, you know, like a 1-2 acre kind of thing, and then they would farm that for about 10 years, and then they would let that go, let it grow back in the forest and take another spot.
Right.
And
just keep moving around.
Keep doing it like that.
Yeah.
And they would do like 30 crops in there, 20 different crops in that.
Right. They would feed the soil and decompose.
So right. And then they would use their own feces and the animal feces to keep regenerating the soil. They weren't taking food out and then sending it somewhere else and not putting it back. They were utilizing the food locally, and then the waste products they were putting back into the soil again.
New sustainability.
Right. So that's what's right now, we're stealing soil from poor countries.
Wow.
Like Indonesia, we're just robbing them blind. We're having them grow papayas and all kinds of stuff, and they're sending tons of this out, and they're buying their LCD TVs and computers, and they're connecting to the internet, and they don't realize that they're actually selling us their future.
I mean, how are they selling us
because
their soil?
The minerals, because the we're minerals. Depleting their minerals and soil, they're sending it to us, we're eating it and then flushing it out the toilet into the ocean.
As opposed to going it back into the system.
Into the, right, so there are...
So that's kind of a Japanese, I mean, that's as I understand Japanese agriculture uses these products to decompose
there's intelligent cultures now the Japanese have a different problem that no one wants to reproduce there. So, you know, in 100 years you might meet the last Japanese person because they're simply not reproducing. I think they have the lowest reproduction percentage in the world right now, the Japanese. So this is another problem, but why don't the people want to reproduce?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So, Ryan, what about if it turns out it's from mineral and vitamin deficiencies?
There you go. So there's not a drive? There's not a sexual drive?
Package is just not happening. And that's one of the problems of congregating in cities. It's very difficult because by their nature, they're not natural for us.
A city.
Cities are unnatural life forms.
Right.
And they're very unstable. They destabilize. The bigger a city is, the more it destabilizes the region it's in.
The only thing I would see was how much stress is added to your life, you know, when you're in a large city and you're, you know, always surrounded into that aspect. That's why nature is such a, you know, real thing.
Well, you have to enslave the people around you, too, to feed you.
Well, there you go.
And so that's the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, it worked out great when the Vikings were coming down and attacking you. You were happy to be enslaved inside a walled city. These nasty people off, right?
Yeah.
But see, that was the whole point, is cities created the potential for people to be able to defend themselves. You know, it was this catch-22. We hate them, but we need them, and that kind of thing. But right now, I'm pretty sure we're living in the golden age of humanity because... everything is going, we're like people on the edge of Niagara Falls, and we're in a boat that's cut loose from its moorings, and we're drifting, but we're partying like it's 1999, not knowing that we're right next to the falls.
Well, aren't we always next to the falls? I mean, isn't that always, ever since, like, Revelations, or you go back, you know, to these things that, you know, people, so many people in their belief systems, you know, believe, you know, that, you know, Revelations, all this kind of stuff, you know, the Four Horsemen, all these, you know, that this is something that's imminent, you know, in our lives. To me, oftentimes that's a method of control, is through fear, right? You know, you better be good and this and that, right? And which mm-hmm. of course, I think the older we get, the more we realize how important that is to an aspect for a whole bunch of people.
Right.
So they don't do things because they say, you know, what really protects us from nature is civilization. Because nature would just kick our butt. I mean, you know, you just, the biggest, heaviest, most armed cat would have, you know, the ball game, you know, and so within civilization, you know, we seem to be able to control that to a degree, but you still have these tremendous polarities. But for myself personally, in going toward this and seeing this stuff, it's the golden age of ascension. The golden age, because we're figuring so much out so quickly. You know, I get this quantum stuff that comes across, and these new muons, M-U-O-N-S, these muons, I don't know if you studied these muons, or these subatomic particles that are just, you know, it's just constantly coming up with revelations of what we're doing. And now this UFO thing, you know, that, you know, what my story, of course, I've told you this before, why the UFO doesn't land is because there's no public bathrooms, right? You know, but, you know, when we finally have the Navy pilots are saying, no, look at that, that's a UFO, and it's in my sights, you know, this is, and so this is a disclosure of such, you know, the knowledge, you know, that we have to grow as a species. But what you're talking about is the earth itself. You're talking about Gaia and the soil that's here.
Well, let's just talk about the differences in people. I can go to an island now, like an island that has gone off native foods, and they're using foods that are very unhealthy, processed foods. Well, you'll notice that the people look very different from one another, very different. Now, if I go to, I can go to islands in Polynesia that haven't shared populations in 1,000 years, and I'll take a girl from each island. They'll look like sisters.
Okay.
All right, because they're
as a species,
as a people, because those people have found the recipe of food that results in the perfect person.
Right. Right.
Genetically, but that's why they all look the same.
Right.
They're the same height. The features are the same. Everything's the same because they're finding the ideal version of themselves. We're all, in effect, I hate to say it, but I mean, I have a slight overbite. When I close my teeth, there's a slight overbite. There's a lot of heat like this, underbite. You know, there's all kinds. All of those are unnatural, including, like, I've had to have my wisdom teeth removed. If my head was shaped the way it's supposed to be, I know it looks like a basketball, but it's supposed to be bigger, so that I wouldn't have had to have my wisdom teeth removed.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
And so this finite way of how and what we should be eating, what I'm understanding is you're talking about small gardens within your own environment
and
that you're controlling. And
bringing nutrition back in, like getting seaweed.
Right.
And drying seaweed out and burning it maybe.
Right.
And then putting the ashes into the food.
That
right.
A lot of nitrogen.
Keeping the waste products from fish, you know, eating fish and other things and recomposting them.
Right. That zero waste thing is what
we're bringing it back and reprocessing it. So right now, Guam, we're net winners because we're bringing in food from, and so this is our chance to build soils. We could build a 1,000 years worth of soil,
right?
But we're not doing that.
Well, I mean, when we're in charge, we have the zero waste thing. So the real waste thing is what happens is you don't pass out trash bins anymore. What you pass out is composting bins, and whatever papers can be used or whatever, and that's it. And you ban plastics. Nobody can bring in anything that's plastic any longer. That's just is completely banned. And then you can have a zero waste environment where you're composting, making your soil. You don't have any plastics to throw away, and glass can be used hopefully in a way to rebuild.
Well, that would work, that would help, but the real way for it to work is we need sugar taxes. Now, I'm the last person who wants taxes. I hate taxes, but we have to make sugar much more expensive than it is. And therefore, drinks, people will stop bringing in. If they get taxed for the amount of sugar in a drink, they won't bring in drinks with 26 grams of sugar in it. I saw a drink
26,
that had...
26, that's like nothing.
I saw a drink with 56 grams of sugar.
Well, your little foremost ice, I mean foremost orange juice is 45.
All right, that's what I'm saying. We have to rethink, I mean from a strictly health point of view, we have to rethink these things. Now, that's what Island Strong is about. Now, Island Strong is creating more and more of a reputation, and people are coming and we're getting more people. But it's like the PQQ, why I created the PQQ CoQ10. It's really a metabolic enhancer. Now, honestly, if you want to be having more fun with the ladies, I would get the Bone Builder and the PQQ CoQ10. You're going to be younger, faster, vascular, everything bone and boron, and you're going to be doing it. But the point of it is people said, Joe, why can't I just eat food? And I said, well, because the honest truth is the meat now has only 25% of the the copper that meat had in 1950 in our current piece of meat now.
And is that because where the cattle are getting fed soybean and it's
and
not?
That's a big part of it, but also because cattle used to grow to about 3 years of age before they slaughter them. Now they fast grow them and slaughter them at 14 months. So it's just like picking a mango before it gets ripe. Like you have it when it's green.
Right.
Well, it's not the same.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, so this... in itself, we talk about, what comes in, how much nutrition is in your spinach, and how much, and it really, it's got less and less because of the soil that is coming from. So to get back to the zero waste and the composting that we have to do, in the aspect of a lot of our sewage treatment plants and things like that, that would be a source of something that could be regenerated
into
the soil.
They're loaded with pharmaceuticals now.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Because
so much pharmaceuticals is in our system.
Well, roots. Unfortunately, plant root systems are very efficient at keeping bad things out of the plant.
Okay.
Except pharmaceuticals.
Wow.
They're so able to pass through. The way they're designed and how they work, the plants will absorb them. So if I would take, let's say, from the waste treatment plant, I would go get the waste and I would put it in my garden, it would be loaded with, you know, high blood pressure, medicine, statins, beta blockers.
Yeah, so it's really the locavore. It's really the in yourself of doing your own, you know, and this is interesting because now, you know, we're here on Guam, you know, the nutrition folks, you know, are going around and they're helping. They've got some grants, farm to table, you know, those
right.
folks
That's
are going
great.
Around bringing soil, potting soil, and getting people interested in doing just that. We always know, you know, from the plants, you know, of course, we're full on with our getting our oxygen and feeding the plant with the carbon dioxide. But we got a caller. Let's see who we got. Hi, how are you doing this evening? Piggy's on the line already, right? Yeah, must be. So what we can look at in our own self with our kids, you know, to get this kind of a solidified. I mean, I see so many kids eating, you know, your hot, what cheese kind of a thing, you know, and stuff, you know, that and it's addictive, you know, you just can't eat one, you know, it's something. So it goes on and on. And with that, you know, what kind of snacks are we going to offer?
But you can protect children. That's what Island Strong's about with the supplements.
Okay.
I don't necessarily like supplements, but I think they're necessary. They're critical now.
Because of the food that we're eating doesn't have
so depleted.
And same thing with our water, with our Himalayan salt.
That's right. We've removed all the minerals from water.
Yeah, yeah. And so you add that half a teaspoon. I just put together a gallon today.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
with alkaline water.
Silica, I tell people, you're afraid of Alzheimer's, if that's what you're afraid of? Silica is the magic bullet. It pulls aluminum out of your body. They know for sure that the amount of aluminum in your body, in your brain specifically, and if you will or will not get Alzheimer's is directly related.
And that silica comes with
diatomaceous earth.
Bringing out your Himalayan salt.
Well, no, well, yes, somewhat, but I add the Himalayan salt and I add silica, diatomaceous earth, to my water.
Okay.
And then I put a little bit of boron and a little bit of magnesium sulfate along with the Himalayan salt. And the reason I do that is to keep the salinity down so people, you know, I don't mind the taste of salt, but my kids, they whine a bit. So by finding the right mixture,
right.
I can make it so that it tastes sweet, but it doesn't taste salty.
There you go. So, Joe, how you doing? Thanks for the call.
Hi, guys. I want to ask about the pharmaceuticals and the soil. Would a remedy be to have a debris? You know how in the, like in the Bible, we talk about leaving a field fallow, let it overgrow, right? And then that way nutrients are kept in the soil. But also, if you were to go and actually harvest the weed and everything overgrown, what about using that debris as maybe 5 to 10% of our energy needs, burning, combustion? It's just a small percentage of our energy needs. But what happens is we take all that debris, right? I think my question is: will burning it help get rid of the pharmaceuticals at all? So that way it doesn't get put back in the soil, or is that just not the way to look at it?
Well, the thing of it is, try to think of pharmaceuticals. The fact that you can get a patent for them means they're not natural. Okay, that's step number one. So, like for instance, if I'm composting soil, that means that there's microbes, fungus, bacteria, you know, worms and pathogens and, you know, we're not necessarily
right,
pathogens, but parasites.
Breaking
it down, right? The problem, that's one of the problems with pharmaceuticals is they're kind of difficult to break down because they're not natural.
So if I ask you, burning
will work.
Would that help you get rid of it?
Well, I don't think getting rid of it is the right way of thinking about it because it will break down over time. Like if you created a compost and you were composting, let's say you were putting, you were taking the waste, you had a septic tank, and you were like putting down some, cutting your grass, putting your grass down, and then having some, you know, your leftover from your food, you're putting that in there, and then you're putting some of the human waste on top, and then you're putting grass on top again. Well, what happens is that actually gets pretty hot inside there.
Right, that's the compost.
The composting, it gets very hot. Right. I mean, it actually is cooking it, really. And that will break down those pharmaceuticals. It will break them down.
That's the fire to do it with.
So that's the way to do it, is composting. Now, there is another fellow has figured out a way of using the sun to algae to break down the pharmaceuticals. So they kind of heat it up or zap it with the sun, mirrors, reflecting, heating up the waste product, and then they send it into this bath where the bacteria, algae, I should say, break it down, and that works great. But see, all of these methods are, it takes a dedicated effort to have those.
Now, that would be at a sewage treatment plant where that would be done?
Sewage treatment plant. Now, another way is just having a time kind of event. Like you had like different pools where it would go, and it would be like look like a natural environment, but in these various pools, they would be breaking down, and there'd be like five of them, and the sewage would kind of move slowly through the pools, and then they would come out as processed.
As dried from like what you're talking
about. Right, and then what you do is you would, that last pool, you would kind of close it for a little while and let it dry, and then you would dig up all of the waste in the last pool. Because it's all been processed, and then you'd use that as soil for farming.
And because of the heat, the pharmaceuticals would disappear?
Well, this time the heat is not as hot, but it's happening. But it's happening over a longer period of time, where composting is pretty quick. It happens much faster.
Yeah.
So this would be.
Sorry, I missed the beginning of the program. Which office are you from?
No, I'm from Island Strong. I own Megabyte and a couple other companies on Guam, but we created Island Strong. Basically, myself, I had actually been very sick. I was 278 pounds. I was starting to have brain fog, and I was having vision problems. My eyes, I was having, I was starting to have, my eyes would, have spasms, actually.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, man, I'm falling apart. And three of my friends died over a three-month period, and it just woke me up. And I was like, there's something seriously wrong here in Happy Land.
Yeah. No matter how successful you are in your business, you have to make sure you're there for your family.
Well, and that was where I, as a scientist, I had to ask, what's going on here?
Sure.
And then I didn't know what vitamins and minerals were. I mean, I didn't even know they were separate things, because my mom always said minerals and vitamins, right?
Right.
I thought they were somehow similar to each other.
Sure.
Couldn't be further from the truth, of course.
So Joseph, in your aspect, are you farming now? Or you got something where you're growing your own produce?
I tried it for a little while, but then I realized it takes a lot of resources, and so you have to have access to land areas where you can, as you say, compost, and you can move dirt around, so you can use it for your plants and your fruit, whatever you grow. And so with my relatives, my family, we have such large families that they've been distributing the land out to all these relatives, and so we have less and less areas that we think of as family areas. So it's really kind of difficult. When we try to do that. But before I stop bringing you, I want to ask you one question. Is there any truth that these, a lot of trees here on Island, and in fact in different places around the world, are dying off due to contaminants, like for example heavy metals that they are absorbing, and it's weakening the trees and they're dying? Have you heard anything to this effect?
Right, would that be more of a problem for the trees than heavy metal, unless it was a real high concentration of heavy metal? Obviously, that would be toxic, but it's actually acid rain and acidity that's affecting the trees. The other thing that's affecting the trees is that we're kind of in a catch-22 area, because, see, the way it used to be is the mountains, it takes a long time for trees to grow on the mountain. And unfortunately, in a lot of areas, we kind of denuded the mountains. We cut a lot of the trees out, or by bad management, they burned out. And what happened is, once the soil was degraded there, it has a knock-on effect and degrades downstream, because the roots of the trees should have held the soil and should have held and then released nutrients, and instead of silt and rocks coming down, nutrients would come down and go into the soil. That's the ideal condition that you want. But unfortunately, human beings, we have a bad habit of liking trees to use to make stuff. So we'll go up to the mountains and cut the trees and then use them for whatever purpose.
I know one of the things now, tree-wise, that we have more trees now than we had in 1900 because we're doing tree farming. There is that movement, I know.
Yeah, there is some improvement there.
Why Amazon or someplace
see,
like
see,
that.
See, we don't have the dust storms that they had in the 20s and 30s in the States.
Right.
I mean, they literally had sand dunes like they have in the Sahara Desert in the United States.
Grapes of wrath.
Yeah, up and your pine trees were like half covered with sand in the United States.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Now, we stopped that by tree planting and a whole bunch of other stuff that we did.
Right.
We woke up there.
Yeah.
You know, and we changed.
Yeah, wind barriers.
Right. And I'm not, I personally believe, like, this is why I sort of have a problem of, I mean, I don't mind people coming and being emigrating to the United States, but we honestly have too many people already.
Well, world does.
We have three times the number of people the planet
needs.
Yeah,
the world can support in this type of aspect. So we're at 7 million, billion.
If we were at about 2 billion, 2.5, I think we'd be feeling a whole lot better.
Well, you know, there's a lot of Dan Brown and a lot of these authors come up with these stories about this, you know, the guy, you know, with a good intention, I was going to wipe out 2/3, like even Thanos, you know, and the Marvel stuff, you know, they're going to wipe out half the universe. Because it's too busy, too many people, too much.
Do you remember that Star Trek episode where they made a mock-up of the starship, and they brought Kirk down, and then the beautiful girl was there, and then all these ghostly people were standing around, and she was there to get infected with, I think, smallpox or some disease that he had, so that she could pass it on to their people and basically kill off 2/3 of the population.
Right. Well, I mean, this was an extreme
Star Trek story.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, of course, we don't want anything like that. But the point of it is that we sort of have to, and it's happening naturally now because the population,
because some people aren't having children like Japan.
Because the cities are so massive now that cities punish you for having children. So,
I want to ask you that. You're talking about, you know, people. Here's my thought, okay? There's a lot of older people who are, unfortunately, they're alone. And what I was thinking was that the idea of, the Egyptians, was to build in the desert and not in the fertile areas where you grow food. So if you look at, say, Africa, it's a pretty large continent, right? If you were to go up to these large desert areas, right, where they could use resources, and at this, you know, you tell me about people are looking, hey, let's go explore space. If you can do it in deserts here on Earth, then the odds are you can have practice and you can do it in the stars. But if you can't even do it here on Earth, then what makes you think you can do it in another planet? So my thought is, if you go to desert areas in the, say, Sahara or different parts of Africa, right, and you go in and you have these sister cities, these concept cities, where they go in and they literally make oases, or like an Eden, right? And the reason why I think this is possible, right, is as an investment, is because I was watching these documentaries that suggested that South America is way different than it is now. It wasn't those fertile forest areas, and even the topography, and, like, for example, this is like the rivers. Why is there a dolphin in the Amazon River? So while it was once connected to the Pacific Ocean, they came from the ocean, and when the topography changed, they were trapped. So now we are freshwater dolphins.
Yeah, freshwater dolphins. Right?
And so what I'm saying is, if the climate and everything was so different about South America, right, and it was in fact terraformed back millennium, why can't we do the same thing in desert areas in like, say, Africa? And then what you would do is you would have, like, a retirement place, kind of like Las Vegas, on the scale of a small country in the millions, and you have people go there and say, hey, you live in a concept country, right? And we're going to give you the best of the best. And what you do is you tap into the social media and you share all the information, like, what do you want, what do you need, right? And so all the scientists are coming and they learn from this. It's kind of like a Star Trek theme.
You see, they did that already. It was called the Nation of South Africa. How did that turn out?
Well, that was a kind of white supremacist thing. I'm talking about...
No. But I'm saying they already tried that. And the problem is, let's say you picked a place in Africa. Just pick a place. Africa's huge. As soon as you created this ideal thing you're talking about, there would literally be thousands of people every day walking from the bush into your Eden. How's that going to work?
And if you have enough nations investing in billionaires, right, it could work because...
I'm just picking on you. The better way to think of it is this way. Cattle is the key to recovering land. Cattle, there are places in the United States now that have turned... desertification in the United States is a big problem. But the reason it's happening is because we don't have buffalo and we don't have cattle, because what they would do is eat the grass, they would process it, they would give back a waste product, they would, with their feet, they would tamp it into the dirt, and then it would help the grass, and the process would keep going. Well, they were building up soil.
Yeah,
and that's the secret.
The theme that I was going to hit on is, these are the retirement communities, because you have an aging population worldwide. And people want to have a pretty good lifestyle in retirement, like the growing years. So you say, hey, you come here, we're going to invest so much in our resources here, you can live comfortably into your 90s, maybe 100s, right, in this new concept country, right? And so that's the theme. This is the retirement theme. Anyway, hey, thanks for your time, guys. I appreciate it.
You're kind of creating Gardens of Eden.
Yeah, well, he needs to visit Florida, because I was there. It's called Orlando. And trust me, you don't want to be on the road after 10 or before 5 or 6 p.m. because it crawls at a snail's pace, like 10 miles an hour. That's how fast
the
people
drive. You mean when Disneyland
closes? No, I mean when the old folks get on the street, starting
in the morning.
At 10 o'clock?
And they're golf carts.
I tell you, it will take you... I could get someplace in 10 minutes, and if it was after 10 or before 5 p.m.
10 in the morning, you're talking.
Yeah, 10 in the morning to 5 p.m., it would take an hour to do something you could do in 10 minutes. So the point of it is we're already doing this naturally. We're already doing what he's talking about. The problem is, how do you take extra city people? Because cities create tons of extra people. They just do. And what do we do with all these extra people? Do we teach them how to be farmers?
See, that's what I meant, is if you have social media, what you're doing is the scientists studying, hey, what's the best of the best, and what do they need? And you tap into that, right? And there's this whole theme of, for example, is, hey, you know what, one day you're going to have, you don't have to go to the doctor's often because your toilet is going to tell you everything about your health, because it's, you know, what are you doing? You're a doctor, you give samples, right? You lab work.
So, and yeah, your toilet's going to... Good idea, Joe.
My toilet already tells me I'm not healthy.
Anyway, thanks for talking to us. I'm going to keep listening, okay?
You know, yeah, you know, I mean, Joe, what, you know, what I see, we just got cut over. What I see is you have an unbelievable thought process going on here.
Well, he's thinking of solutions. That's the good part.
Yeah, and that's the thinking part. You know,
right.
That's what, you know, oftentimes, you know, we let, you know, our entertainment do our thinking for us. But no, that's really good. That's why I enjoy it as a teacher, is getting critical thinking motivation. You know, what's on your mind? You know, let's talk a little bit here, right? As opposed to not. So that's a good call. So why don't we take our break? And we'll be right back with a whole bunch more of the Edge of Heaven.
You
are
here. Your talk, your station. News Talk K57.
Food and dietary supplements products discussed on this program are intended to contribute to the daily diet and overall health, and are not intended for the use in the prevention, treatment, mitigation, or cure of any disease or health-related condition. Individuals that have or suspect they have illness or wish to commence a diet or exercise program should consult an appropriately licensed healthcare practitioner for medical history evaluation, diagnosis, treatment, and health recommendations.
Hello and welcome to Let's Play Doctor. Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, a veterinarian and physician. And I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to die at 75.5 like their parents and grandparents. I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to be sick and miserable for the last 15 to 20 years of their life like their parents and grandparents. And we do have lines open. Give us a call toll-free, 1-877-912-PLAY. That's toll-free, 1-877-912-7529. Well, it came out that after many, many, many years of tracking this, that, and the other, the World
Hi, I'm Wallace the World Roberto, also known as the Mass Man with Premier Properties Management. Are you in financial trouble? I buy, sell, on and off island houses, condos, or land. Call me at 649-5363. Call my friend, Trader Horn, Monday to Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. to buy, sell, or trade just about everything else. Trader Horn, brought to you by me, Wallace the World Roberto, only here on News Talk K57.
Thank you, Patty.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
Your
That's
show really helped.
Well, I'm glad that, I'm so glad that it worked out for you. Did they print?
I just wanted to call and thank you so much.
Okay.
So
that's...
I'm hoping, Patty, that it won't happen again.
Me too. I'm hoping.
Thank you so much.
Well, at least if it happens again, you know where to call.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Virgie. Take good care.
It's more than just breaking news and interviews. It's about helping people. On Mornings with Patty, right here on News Talk K57. Your talk, your station.
So we live, and chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte Intermuting or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong at 648-9355.
Mm-hmm. comes the sun, and I say it's alright.
Smoojow Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Smoojow offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Smoojow to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school. They can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Smoojow to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Smoojow is located in Agana, next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jess Pirates Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4, right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jess' famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jess hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, tantalizing Thanksgiving, and a Christmas buffet. Now let's look forward to this Father's Day coming up, folks. Take a tour of Jess Pirates Cove unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and start out with Jose's Mexican omelet, folks. What a breakfast. Then jump over to Jose's Taco Tuesdays, that triple taco plate. Unbelievable. And then, of course, there's Fridays, where that whole parrotfish is sitting there waiting for you. And don't forget about Jess' Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jess' Pirates Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Okay, so about 5 more minutes here, folks. You know, when you were talking earlier, and Joe was talking earlier about creating places, you know, going in and doing your irrigations and the importance of these kind of activities to make sure that the nutrients are continually being put back into the soil, that the produce that appears on your plate is full of everything it's supposed to be full of, to give us what it is that we need to get the energy level, as food does, to get us through the day without being something that takes us away from ourselves. And the only thing in listening to you, like talking about, you know, an acre here, an acre there, and sustainability, even in mini gardens, to where you have it's often labor intensive, you know, into these aspects, you know, to get involved in creating a garden. I know we use buckets with our students, you know, it's an easy way of doing it. You know, we do the soil, we do composting, we do the whole thing, so that the students understand what it takes to do this. And then what we see, the big one, is
when a child is productive in the aspect of giving produce to the family, you know, the little cherry tomatoes for the finadini, the eggplant for grandma to make escabeche, you know, all of these kind of things, when that happens, it's hard to beat that in the child's self-esteem, you know, and how they feel about themselves being a provider. And, oh, we're going to eat, you know, Juan's tomatoes today. You know, we got, look what we got. She brought a whole bag of tomatoes and some eggplant. And so we see as educators how important this is. So individually, you know, we have this attraction to the garden. We have people, it's sad in aspect, a lot of times it's the retirement person, you know, who's no longer in the routine, previously changed routine, so they say, okay, I'm going to start gardening and start doing these things. And that's an important thing.
There's a concept I have that, for lack of better words, you could call it Fortress Marianas.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we like being colonists. All of us. What I'm saying is, we don't think of Fortress Marianas. What do we need to do? What steps so that we can be an independent nation and self-sufficient? What would we have to do? Can we? And is it possible? And what extent can we do it? Right now, if you tried to develop something, Ran, you would...
Develop in what?
Let's say a health product.
Okay.
You would not be able to sell it. You've got to go to the FDA and get it approved, and 100 other things that you couldn't possibly dream of doing, and they wouldn't want to help you anyway. So what happens is we can't make or do anything here because we've put ourselves in a position where we're dependent. We receive. Everything comes to us, and we don't question it. But really, if we want to become Fortress Marianas, it really starts with Fortress Guam, because we're the hub.
Right.
And if we create this mentality, how can we become self-sufficient? What do we need to do? Well, first of all, we've got to be able to control the food coming in and be able to, as responsible people, saying, unless we want to spend all of our money treating diabetes, because 20 years from now, every cent in our budget right now will go for just diabetes in our culture.
Continually eating the food that we're eating.
Eating this kind of food. And then every year, more and more sugars and more sugar-type things are introduced into our... I've been here 30 years. I've watched it.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
So
no, you're right.
So my point of it is, well, how do we change that? Can we change it?
Well, again, you know, I always kind of go back to the generational changes that seems to happen, you know, where people, you know, become aware. You know, we've got about a minute left here. You know, Jenny's little restaurant.
Yeah,
you know, you see these
Jenny,
other places where...
Take my hat off to her.
Well, you know, it's a biologist. You know, it's someone who has that aspect of what can we do. And then once you're engaged in doing this at home... all of a sudden you find out that there is alternatives. But it's hard so much, Joseph, as we know, because there's so many people that rather eat food that's not good for them, that tastes good, and they're sacrificing years of their life and the quality of their life as we see these poor folks. But so we're talking about Island Strong, next to Megabyte in Timuning. Hours of operation, good time to catch you, Joseph. It's, of course, afternoon in the afternoon for any kind of consultation. And thanks, Joe, for the call. And Candy, you're doing it. Chelu, you're the man in town.
Thanks for bearing with me. I'm still new here, but I appreciate your patience.
Well, you're an old soul, my man. You're an old soul. And the strongest force in the universe is with you.